Media from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us Dan Briody. How do you pronounce the last name?
It's actually pronounced Briody.
Briody. And Mr. Dan Briody, he's an award-winning reporter, investigative reporter. He's written a fascinating book called The Iron Triangle, Inside the Secret World of the Carlyle Group. And I actually had the interesting, about 8 or 9 years ago, one of my friends called me and said, look at Carlyle Group. They just bought up the people who make the Bradley fighting vehicle and the mobile howitzer. And of course, they're planning for a war. Well, who would have thought 8 or 9 years ago we were going to have a war in the desert? But obviously they knew what the future held. And of course, it has been that way. And of course, as pointed out in the book, The Iron Triangle, there is, of course, an association between government and the military and the strange men, let's put it this way, these powerful men who work for or have worked for the Carlyle Group. So, Dan, how did you happen to get involved in actually studying this organization?
Well, I was working for a magazine about 2 years ago called Red Herring, and we were looking for, at the time, we were looking for stories about the financial impact of the September 11th attacks on the United States economy. And in doing some of the research for that story, we came across this company called the Carlyle Group and found that they had extensive investments in defense and aerospace, as well as security, and other types of businesses that stood to gain quite substantially from the September 11th attacks and the ensuing war on terrorism. But then we also found out some really other interesting things about them, like the fact that the Bin Laden family was one of their investors. And we found out that George H.W. Bush was one of their employees, along with a host of other high-profile ex-politicians, ex-world leaders, ex-business leaders, some of the most powerful and influential men in the world, all working and investing in the same company. And so we did an expose on them for the magazine, and eventually that turned into a book.
And, of course, you're talking about people like Frank Carlucci. You're talking about James Baker III, the president's lawyer. You're talking about Donald Rumsfeld was one of their employees, too, wasn't he?
Oh, Donald Rumsfeld actually did not work for the Carlyle Group,
right.
But his relationship with Frank Carlucci over the years has been closely scrutinized, and for good reason. The two of them are the closest of friends. They attended Princeton University together. They were college roommates, and their careers virtually tracked each other's all throughout the ranks of government officials, even in business. They both worked for Sears Roebuck at one time. So they are never to be found too far apart from each other. And the obvious question that folks have been raising is, can Frank Carlucci influence Donald Rumsfeld's decisions to benefit his company?
But of course, a war is really is a great benefit to Carlyle, isn't it?
It is. Like any defense contractor, Carlyle stands to gain very substantially from any war. And we have seen that since the beginning of the war on terrorism, Carlyle has been able to take United Defense public, which is the company that you just mentioned that they acquired back in 1997.
We're going to have to interrupt you there in just a moment, and because we want to bring on another station right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course, our special guest this afternoon is Dan Briety, and of course, he's written a fascinating book called The Iron Triangle. And The Iron Triangle is basically is the story of the Carlyle Group, one of the most powerful corporations in the United States today. And the fact that you haven't heard of it simply is a reflection of the degree of control that exists over much of the media, although it has had a fair amount of play, and I've certainly been following the Carlyle Group, but nowhere near as much as Dan has in his book, The Iron Triangle. And certainly we've been talking about the relationship between this corporation and war. And, of course, they produced the Bradley fighting vehicle. They produced a howitzer, and what was that? A howitzer was eventually accepted and then shut down, but then they got another big fat contract. Don't they live pretty well on government contracts?
Yeah, when you're looking at the businesses that Carlyle invests in, they are looking to invest in parts of the economy that are heavily government regulated. In other words, they're looking for their sweet spot is any industry that relies on legislation and policy making for its various trends. So that includes defense, aerospace, healthcare, telecommunications, energy. All of these things are very prone to the whims of lawmakers. And as such, Carlyle Group hires all of these very influential and powerful ex-politicians like a George H.W. Bush, like a James Baker III, or John Major, the former Prime Minister of the UK. And the list goes on and on. And they're able to both predict and sway trends in policymaking to their benefit.
And, of course, then this is very, very lucrative. You mentioned that one of their companies they took forward, they made almost, $800 million in one day, something like that, when they went public?
Yeah, after September 11th and all of the defense budget increases, they were able to take their crown jewel of defense, a company called United Defense, which is the company that makes the Bradley fighting vehicles, the Paladin gun systems, a number of combat vehicles and combat weapons that we've seen on TV since the start of the Iraqi war. And that company was taken public to the tune of $237 million in profits just that first day. Subsequent to that, the company was looking at somewhere close to $1 billion in profits from that IPO.
Okay, we're going to be back here in just a moment with our special guest today, talking about the Carlyle Group. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and our guest is Dan, and I want to, it rhymes with sobriety, so it's Briety, and of course, we're talking about the Iron Triangle, the secret world of the Carlyle Group, and here's this, a major corporation that has so many very famous names, Frank Carlucci, who of course was certainly worked in government for many years. He was the Secretary of Defense, and then within just a few days of leaving the Secretary of Defense, he goes to work for Carlyle, and they're already planning, at least 6 or 8 years ago on the coming war. They know there's going to be a war in the desert. They bought up the people who are going to make up the Bradley fighting vehicle, and of course they've profited greatly at that, haven't they? But what their value seems to be, what, about $14 billion in holdings?
They actually have closer to $16 billion in holdings now.
All right, so actually it's increased because I know that some of the things you said, 13 and then 13 and a half and then 14, and now it's up to 15. So, and this hasn't taken very long to make that extra couple of billion dollars, has it?
No, and it's really amazing the rate at which this company is able to raise funds. If you look at some of their competition in the private equity world, it takes a very long time to raise a $1 billion fund. You have to solicit investments, huge investments, from very wealthy investors and institutional investors and things like that. It takes a long time to drum up that kind of cash, especially in a down economy. But the Carlyle Group has no problem with raising cash because of the big names that they have on their staff.
And, of course, you're talking about people like George Bush. And what about the relationship of the bin Laden family with them?
Yeah, since the mid-90s, the bin Laden family has been an investor in the Carlyle Group. The bin Laden company, as many people know, runs a very profitable construction company in Saudi Arabia called the Saudi Bin Laden Group, which has been an investor in the Carlyle Group since about the mid-90s and until just after September 11th, when it came out that there was this confluence of the Bin Ladens and the Bushes meeting at the Carlyle Group and annual investor meeting just the night before the September 11th attacks. And that was very bad publicity, so they ended up ending that relationship.
In other words, they sold out their holdings on it, but obviously somebody made a great deal of money out of what happened on September 11th, and the Carlyle Group certainly profited from September 11th, and I suspect that maybe even the Bin Laden family might have profited, helped their sale price. Do we have any idea how much they made when they unloaded that? We're talking probably hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars of investment.
Yeah, we don't know exactly how much. The Carlyle Group maintains that the Bin Laden investment in their fund was only $2 million, but I have talked to people who have said that over the course of the past 7 years, the Bin Laden family has had much more money invested in some of these funds and has taken some of it out and put some more in. But it certainly was an ironic situation when we saw that the Bin Laden family was in fact invested in a defense fund within the Carlyle Group. So that meant that the Bin Laden family stood to gain financially from the war on terrorism, which was being waged against their own son.
You wonder what they knew ahead of time.
It does lead the mind to wander.
Well, we find people in the Carlyle Group like Prince Al-Waleed bin Talan, is that right? An investor, a billionaire, international investor. He's a Saudi Arabian prince.
That's right, and he was one of the ways that the Carlyle Group first started investing in Saudi Arabia. They established this relationship with the prince, Prince Al-Waleed, who's pretty well known here in the States as a heavy-hitting investor. And they established a relationship, brokered a couple deals for him, and that opened the door for them in Saudi Arabia, and since then they've been doing quite a good business there.
And, of course, Colin Powell was a former advisor to them.
He was an informal advisor, so he never had any official role with the company, but he's very close, again, with Frank Carlucci and many of the other guys who work over there.
How about John Major, the former Prime Minister of Great Britain?
And John Major is the chairman of Carlyle Europe and obviously has a very influential role throughout Europe and was able to help Carlyle to get some sweet investment deals in his own backyard in the UK.
So it sort of helps then to have somebody who has led the country employed or as an advisor to your company.
Yes, it's a tremendous help.
How about George Herbert Walker Bush? Is he an advisor to the Carlyle Group? And doesn't that give him undue influence as far as his son being the president and he advising the Carlyle Group?
Well, I certainly think so. His role at the company is that of a senior advisor. It is an official capacity. And he, on behalf of the Carlyle Group, travels throughout the world, meets with business leaders, meets with political leaders, foreign heads of state, foreign heads of big business, things like that. And he's able to give speeches, attract investors, and actually attract deal-making capabilities. And as such, I believe that it's a terrible conflict of interest when he stands to profit from the wars that his son is waging all around the world. And I to this day still don't understand why there isn't more of a public outcry.
Well, maybe it's because the public isn't learning about it. Well, what about this Arthur Levitt, who's a chairman of the SEC? Now, should he be serving on as an advisor, a senior advisor to Carlyle?
Well, it's certainly within his rights to do so, but you would have to question his judgment in doing this. Arthur Levitt, as most people know, was a great defender of the individual investor's rights, and a company like the Carlyle Group is much more secretive. It's not open at all. It's not its finances are not made public. So to see Arthur Levitt come out of the Clinton administration and join a company like this was a little disheartening for some folks.
Well, how about Park Tae-joon, who the former prime minister of South Korea?
Yeah, he's part of the list of ex-prime minister Fidel Ramos from the Philippines is also on the advisory board to Carlyle Group. So they've got Asia, Southeast Asia, the Korean Peninsula, the UK, Saudi Arabia. They've got some very powerful localities all over the world sewed up in terms of some of the most influential people in those regions.
Well, you mentioned that William Kennard, the managing director, is the managing director of Carlyle, and he was the former chairman of the FCC. He approved a highly questionable bid for a Carlyle client to enter into a long-distance market 2 days before he left the office. Now, 2 months later, he landed a plum job with Carlyle. I thought there was some sort of a law that you couldn't go to work for the agencies that you'd been regulating or companies you've been regulating for a year or more. Or does that only apply to lower-level government employees?
No, it does apply to all government employees, but that's the beauty of the Carlyle Group. The Carlyle Group is not a telecommunications company. They invest in telecommunications company, but they're not an actual they're really a private equity firm. They're an investment firm. So there's no law that restricts movement like that from a former government official into the business world. And that's where I think that our laws that regulate our politicians' behavior after they leave office fall very short. And they really need to be reexamined and tightened up a bit, I believe.
Well, can't they, of course, utilize their position then to profit themselves with their next employer?
That's exactly right. And in many cases, you'll see throughout the Carlyle Group's history, you'll see these very powerful people in public posts making decisions that benefit the Carlyle Group shortly before they leave to work for the Carlyle Group. And it's a very disturbing pattern of behavior, and something that has gone virtually unexamined for too long now.
Well, of course, the companies inside the Carlyle Group, you have listed them, United Defense, known for producing the Bradley fighting vehicle during Desert Storm and the battles over the future of its next generation fighting vehicle. And then, of course, made this mobile howitzer called the Crusader, and of course, they made a lot of money on that. Something like United Defense made Carlyle a profit of $237 million in its initial IPO. That's pretty good for one day or so.
Yeah, that never would have been able to take place if it hadn't been for the September 11th attacks and Bush's tough talk about the war on terrorism lasting a long time and how this is a war that won't be won quickly and we'll have to be patient and all those things. All those things factored into the ability for Carlyle to take United Defense public at a time when it was clear that defense spending was going to go through the roof.
And of course, this Crusader howitzer, the military didn't even want this, did it?
Yeah, this is one of the more interesting stories about Carlyle. They had fought for years, for about 5 years, to keep this Crusader gun alive, even though the military and so many other folks, defense experts, panels that were put together by the Pentagon, all recommended that the gun be scrapped because it was too slow-moving, too heavy, a Cold War relic. And it was miraculous that they were able to keep this gun alive for so long. And they were able to keep it alive just long enough to make that IPO right after September 11th when they knew that no one would be canceling any gun programs. And then the heat started getting turned up on the Carlyle Group for their conflicts of interest and their relationships to Don Rumsfeld. And so Don Rumsfeld came out and made a very public announcement saying, that's it, we're going to kill the Crusader program, there's no conflict of interest here, it's all over. But what he didn't say during that announcement is that the Army awarded Carlyle and United Defense a brand new contract for a brand new gun on that very same day.
Isn't that interesting? And of course, these people give incest a bad name.
Yeah, it gives you an idea of how they're conducting business.
Well, at least we know our tax money isn't just being wasted. It's going to needy multi-millionaires and multi-billionaires. We're going to be back here in just a moment with our special guest today, Dan Briotti, Sobriety's Briotti, and of course we've been talking about the Iron Triangle inside the secret world of the Carlyle Group, and I think it's so important that the American people understand that things are never as they appear to be, for reality truly is usually scoffed at, illusion usually is king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. We'll be right back. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
This is Radio Health journalist Bill Sardi. Hey, a lot of smart supplement users like to check out the facts before they purchase an herbal product. So go to www.lifespannnutrition.com and read all about Alamax, the new odorless, 100% pure allicin garlic extract imported from Great Britain. You'll find Alamax is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh, crushed garlic. Check it out at www.lifespannnutrition.com or call 866-405-4000 to learn more about this breakthrough in garlic technology called Alamax. Call 1-866-405-4000 today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just wanted to mention that if you're interested in getting yourself a water filter to purify your water, to get bacteria out of it, to take out the chemicals and many of the toxic minerals that you would have, let me suggest the Big Berkey water filter. And this is a stainless steel water filter. It filters 2.5 gallons of water at a time, about 25 gallons a day. That's certainly more than you're going to be wanting to drink. These are portable water filters. Filters are made of a ceramic, packed full of an activated carbon, and of course ordinarily these sell for $279. They're on sale for $239 through Radio Liberty, and if you buy it through us, well, you'll get either a video or a 4-tape set of one that we produce. Now, I just have to tell you that the ceramic filters can be cleaned over and over again. They can be brushed off. They can be boiled. This is a great product. It's been used by missionaries throughout the world for well over 150 years, but these are not available in either California or Iowa. They're available in all states other than California and Iowa. However, there is another portable filter that is available in California, and it's called the Berkey Light. And instead of being made of stainless steel, it's made of the same material they make your bulletproof glass out of. The filters are called the Black Berkey filters. Now, this filter will filter 25 gallons, just like the other filter does, about the same size as the other filter. Black Berkey filters, we call them water purifiers because they do a magnificent job of taking out literally all the bacteria and most of the heavy metals and many of the toxic substances and pesticides in your water. They're available in all states but Iowa. But the one thing about these filters, they have to be replaced every 2 to 4 years. They could probably go longer than that, but for maximum efficiency, every 2 to 4 years. So you can get either the Berkey Light or the Big Berkey by calling 1-800-544-8927. The Berkey Light is certainly only $199. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and of course our guest this afternoon is Dan Briotti, and of course his book, The Iron Triangle, Inside the Secret World of the Carlyle Group. And if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment, please give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We were talking about, of course, the companies inside the Carlyle Group. This organization, far more powerful than many governments, really having its people working within the governments or people associated with it. We have something called USIS. What is that, USIS?
It's United States Investigative Services.
All right, five. And it came from a government-run agency. How would you get something from a government-run agency under your control?
Well, it's something that's been happening now for about the past 20 years, and that is the privatization of a lot of government agencies. USIS used to be the agency within the government that did background checks for government employees. It makes sense for an agency like that to be part of the government infrastructure. However, we were trying to cut down on our cost of government, so we started peeling these things off and privatizing them. So the Carlyle Group owns this company, USIS, and as such, they have they own the company that does most of the investigations into the backgrounds and security level clearances for government employees, airline employees, anyone that requires a security level clearance. And obviously, their contracts have gone through the roof since September 11th.
Well, now, Vinel is a heavy construction company. It's done a lot of work for the Saudi Arabian royal family. It trains the Saudi National Guard.
That's right, and Vinel is part of this group of companies. Again, this is part of the privatization trend that we've seen over the past two decades. Vinel is a company that does military outsourcing. So they go in and they train foreign armies on how to use their weapons and how to fight in combat and things like that, a role that was traditionally left for our armed forces, for the United States Armed Forces. Now, they've been working in Saudi Arabia since 1975, training the Saudi Arabian National Guard, which is essentially in charge of protecting the royal family of Saudi Arabia, sometimes from against its own people. As such, they were a target of terror attacks, both in 1995 and just this past May.
Well, of course, we hear a lot now about these sort of private armies. You can rent an army from America. Does Vinel sort of fit into that category?
It does. It falls into the category of executive mercenaries, soldiers for hire, whatever euphemism you want to employ. Yes, that's the type of stuff that Vinel is doing over in Saudi Arabia. And it's not hard to see why Saudi citizens, especially the more fundamentalist sect, points them out as a target in these terrorist attacks. It's first of all an American company that has been there for over 25 years training their own troops on how to fight.
Well, of course, you comment that there seems to be a relationship between the Central Intelligence Agency and this Vinel, and of course, since Vinel is part of Carlyle, is there a relationship between the Central Intelligence Agency and, of course, Carlyle?
Well, sure, I think that holds to reason. I mean, Vinel has been a CIA cover operation in Saudi Arabia, and it's not clear whether they are still a CIA cover operation, but I talked to one of the former board members of the company, and he said, "Yeah, you know, back in the mid '90s, when the company was owned by Carlyle, it was operating as a CIA cover operation, and what better company to do it with than one that's actually infiltrated and completely ingrained with the Saudi National Army?" So yes, I think that there is certainly a link between that kind of a CIA cover operation and the Carlyle Group, and especially when you look at someone like George H.W. Bush, who, as a former president, still receives daily briefings from the CIA, which is a right that all ex-presidents are afforded, but very few of them take advantage of, and former President Bush does still.
But, of course, you mentioned that, and I think everybody should be aware of the fact that a former president, George Herbert Walker Bush, was also a director of the Central Intelligence Agency. And didn't Frank Carlucci have anything to do with the CIA at one time?
Yeah, Frank Carlucci was also a deputy director at the CIA. So the ties to the CIA are very deep.
And, of course, many people believe that the CIA certainly works beyond the law, not answerable to government, not answerable to our Senate, and, of course, if you get too far out of line, why, of course, you may very well take a trip to Dallas. Well, that's another story, but we'll be covering that in one of our other programs. In any event, we're going to be back here in just a moment. We'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We've already got a couple of people hanging on the line interested in this story, and I think it's a fascinating story, the book, The Iron Triangle, and we're going to carry this book. I think it's an important book. We want all of our listeners to have it, to see how this whole thing fits together. We'll be back here in just a moment, here at Radio Liberty.
another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention a couple of the other products we carry. One of them, of course, as you know, is the it's called Miracle Tooth Soap products, and we can't make any claims or medicinal claims for Miracle Tooth products, but we will tell you that many of our listeners who use them make all sorts of wonderful claims for them, and there is a soap and a moisturizing soap and a lotion and a gel and a neutralizing solution, and they're all available. Certainly the neutralizing solution is a very alkaline, mineralized solution that some people take because they say it helps their heartburn, like taking baking soda or something else, but it seems to also have some other very helpful qualities. And of course the soap has many, many uses. If you'd like to know more about the products, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And you can either get an introductory set of all five products, or you can get information. Just ask about the Miracle 2 soap products. And then, of course, we also carry the Phenopoly. Phenopoly is a board game played like Monopoly, designed to undo all the harm that the government schools have done by dumbing down our children and making many of them incapable of reading or pronouncing or spelling words properly. And this didn't happen by accident. It's part of a long-range plan, and they've done a pretty good job at it, don't you think? When you look at how our students stack up and compare with students from Lithuania and Latvia, why we're right down at the very bottom of the barrel. Didn't happen by accident. If you love your children and grandchildren, get them a Phenopoly set. Most of these programs, $300, $400, $500, $600. This is $139.95. Five board games, two bonus games. We throw in a couple of books. The telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. The product, Phenopoly. I think you'll be happy if you get it. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest today is Dan Brady, and of course we're going to be going to Nathan, who's calling from Contra Costa. Nathan, do you have a question or comment?
Two questions, if you could. For one, the main question is, Mr. Dave Emery has suggested that there has continued after World War II a virtual government, effectively, an underground Third Reich, and it's a thesis I've been pursuing for a long time. Do you believe, in your research into the Carlyle Group and into many of these corporations, do you sense anything that could remotely be called a link to the neo-Third Reich?
I don't, and I'll expand on that a little bit. The goal of the Carlyle Group is very simple. It's to make a lot of money, and they've been very successful in doing that, and in the course of doing that, they have helped to shape some of our policies here in the United States and abroad. Now, as if you want to consider that some form of shadow government or a third government, I suppose you could look at it that way. But you have to be careful with a story like this, because I think once you start delving into the realm of conspiracy theory, and things like the Skull and Bones Club and things like that, it makes it very easy for our current administration to dismiss these things as implausible or incredible. And this is not that kind of conspiracy theory. This is very real. This happens out in the open. This is the way that business takes over our government. And in many cases, the Bush administration makes no bones about it.
All right, fine. Anything else?
Well, you probably answered my next question about the plane crash of Senator Paul Wellstone.
All right, fine.
I think I have a feeling that you've answered it, but thank you.
All right, fine. Well, thank you so very, very much. Well, Dan, what about Henry Kissinger? Is Henry Kissinger in any way associated with the Carlyle Group? We keep hearing rumors about that, but you would be certainly the best person to answer that question.
You know, Henry Kissinger doesn't have any relationship with the Carlyle Group, at least any formal relationship with them. But it's all part of this sort of these folks who are able to pull the strings and influence government from various corporate positions or think tank positions, or there's any number of places for these ex-politicians to sort of hide out behind the scenes. Send letters and have meetings with the current administration folks and shape policy behind the scenes, like a Richard Perle or someone like that. That's what we're talking about here, and there's any number of these guys in and throughout Washington.
All right, and of course you talk about Frank Carlucci and his association with the CIA, and somewhere in your book, I remember some reference to the fact that he was involved with an attempted assassination of Patrice Lumumba. Is that true?
Has been
suggested. He has denied that.
Yes, he vehemently denies this. But he was in the Congo at the time of Patrice Lumumba's assassination, and I spoke to the man who has dedicated his life to telling the story of Patrice Lumumba, a guy by the name of Raoul Peck, who is a documentary filmmaker. And in his research, he makes no bones about the fact that Frank Carlucci was involved in that assassination attempt. Portrayed it as such in his movie. However, Frank Carlucci threatened to sue, and the result was that the scene had to be slightly altered in the final edition of the movie so as to avoid a lawsuit.
All right, but of course there's no question that Patrice Lumumba eventually was killed, and certainly there was everything there to suggest that the CIA was involved with that, isn't there?
Yes, clearly. The CIA, in fact, dispatched a poisons expert to the Congo to carry out the assassination originally. That plan fell through, but ultimately what happened was some rival factions were held responsible for assassinating Lumumba during a prisoner transfer. But many people believe that it was still the CIA that was behind the whole thing.
And, of course, we hear about, of course, the 007 number that's given to the people in the British MI5 or whatever it is, like James Bond. But, of course, Ian Fleming, who wrote that, understood what it was all about. He actually worked for MI5 or MI6 during the war, and they give people a license to kill, but apparently we do that as well, don't we, as we have in the past.
Yeah, and you know what's fascinating. I'm glad you brought that up, Sam, because we are right now watching as the Carlyle Group expands its defense holdings and internationally. And one of their latest and most recent acquisitions is that of the Ministry of Defense's research arm, a company called Kinetech, which is essentially the same thing as DARPA here in the United States. Now, if you can imagine a foreign company coming in and buying DARPA here in the United States, our defense research agency, it would never happen. But the Carlyle Group was able to go into the UK and purchase the Ministry of Defense's research group, which to me is just indicative of how powerful this company really is.
Now, sometimes the companies can even be more powerful than government. Now, you notice that George Soros, certainly one of the most powerful men in the world, is a Carlyle investor. Is he still with them? Do we know?
Yeah, I believe he's still invested with them. He made a very large investment of $100 million back in the late 90s, mid-90s, which lent a certain air of legitimacy to the Carlyle Group at the time, with such a heavy-hitting investor coming in and putting in such a large amount of cash. This is another example of how many people are really involved with this company, how many incredibly powerful and influential and wealthy people, and how concentrated these associations are in a company like the Carlyle Group.
All right, fine. And then, of course, what about the relationship between the Carlyle Group and Korea? And, of course, you commented that, of course, this may explain why the president takes a different approach towards Iraq and then a different approach towards Korea. Certainly, Korea is building or already has several nuclear bombs, and certainly there's no evidence that Saddam Hussein had the nuclear bombs. But we seem to be much more concerned about the threat of Iraq and the wicked Saddam Hussein than the wicked dictator of North Korea. But you seem to feel that this may have because of the large Carlyle investments in Korea itself. Are they invested all in the South or in the North as well?
They're invested in the South, and I put Saudi Arabia in the same category as South Korea when looking at this kind of foreign policy and foreign investment dichotomy. You have Carlyle has extensive investments in both Saudi Arabia and South Korea, many of which George H.W. Bush had to do with directly. He made a lot of those investments happen. He did a lot of the legwork. So when the young George W. Bush came into office in 2001, he made a couple foreign policy snafus. He threatened North Korea. He disregarded Saudi Arabia. George H.W. Bush, the father, was in there very quickly to remedy those situations. He placed a phone call to King Fahd in Saudi Arabia. He sent a note to his son saying you should reconsider your policy on the Korean Peninsula. And sure enough, those policy changes were made, and Carlyle's investments were safe in those areas. That is the most egregious example, in my mind, of the conflict of interest that the former president has when doing business with a company like Carlyle Group. He's clearly still advising his son on foreign policy, which affects their investments. It's a clear conflict of interest, and it should stop.
But, of course, is it going to stop? I mean, we can say what we will, but is there anybody who really thinks that George W. Bush will not listen to his father, George Herbert Walker Bush, the former director of the Central Intelligence Agency, and, of course, a member of all of the various internationalist groups, the dedicated globalist, of course, who's always been interested in surrendering our sovereignty. Is there any reason to believe that our current president is not going to have counsel from his father, who is so intimately involved with this multi-billion-dollar international globalist corporation?
Well, perhaps not surprisingly, I would actually rather see the former president resign from the Carlyle Group than stop giving his son advice on foreign policy. I personally believe that George H.W. Bush has a steadier hand and perhaps and certainly much more experience and knowledge when it comes to foreign policy. So myself and some watchdog groups in the Washington, D.C. area have instead been calling for his resignation from the Carlyle Group, which has fallen on deaf ears to date.
All right, well, could you explain to our listeners what the Great Eskimo Tax Scam was? Because that's where this whole thing got started. What was the Great Eskimo Tax Scam? That, of course, you know, we always hear, oh, the Congress is going to close all those loopholes for those wicked rich people who can't make away with a lot of money, and then they, of course, make a new law, and they tax the rest of us more, and then they create new tax loopholes for the very rich and the wealthy. So what was the Great Eskimo Tax Scam?
Well, this is a doozy of a loophole, and this was the foundation upon which the Carlyle Group was formed. Back in the late 80s, there was a law that stated that native Eskimos of Alaska were able to sell their losses, their corporate losses, to profitable companies in order for those companies to write those losses off of their taxes. So essentially, a company... A native Alaskan-owned company would sell $10 million of losses for $7 million in cash to a profitable a company in the lower 48, which would then write that $10 million off of their taxes and get a huge tax break. Ultimately, the two founders of the Carlyle Group, David Rubenstein and Stephen Norris, shuffled hundreds of millions of dollars through this tax loophole, saved a number of corporations, a number of profitable corporations, millions of dollars on the taxes, and then they made several million dollars on the transactions themselves, and then out of that, the Carlyle Group was born.
So then eventually, of course, they closed that down so nobody else can take advantage of it, but out of the great profits of that, then came Carlyle.
Yeah, so the Carlyle Group had to find a new business to get into after the loophole was closed up. And that was when they hired a guy by the name of Frank Carlucci, who was the outgoing Secretary of Defense during the Reagan administration, former Deputy Director of the CIA, among various other ambassadorships and shadowy roles in revolutionary countries. Frank Carlucci directed them immediately into the defense buyout business, which was a business that he had helped form while he was Secretary of Defense. He had made several new policy changes throughout the Pentagon to affect how contracting was done with defense contractors. So it was a no-brainer for Carlyle Group to use Frank Carlucci's knowledge in that industry and start investing in defense.
And, of course, it was almost as if they knew many years ago when they bought the Bradley fighting vehicle and the mobile howitzer that a desert war of some sort was going to come, because it's certainly something like the Bradley fighting vehicle would not be very much good on a Pacific island. It wouldn't be very much good in mountainous terrain. That is ideally, of course, designed for a desert warfare, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the perfect weapon for the Gulf War, both one and two. And in fact, the company was able to time the trends with uncanny precision. That certainly leads to some suspicion as to what they knew and when they knew it.
In other words, you think that maybe they knew exactly what was going to happen, but they were in a position to, of course, take advantage of that, because nobody in the early 90s was thinking we were going to have another major war or maybe a series of major wars in the Middle East.
Absolutely, and if you look at the way that the timing plays out, when they first got into the defense buyout business, it was post-Cold War, which was, as we all remember, the great peacetime dividend, and all the money was being taken out of the defense budget because the Cold War was over. So the values of these defense companies started to drop. Carlyle came in, bought a bunch of those companies, and then a couple years later, 1991, Gulf War won, and the value of defense properties gets boosted again, and they're able to make a big profit.
I just a little off the subject, but we see this with the nuclear industry. I mean, by 1980 is why the nuclear industry was dead. By 1990, we hadn't made built a new nuclear plant in almost 20 years. And now, of course, when the nuclear industry has been transferred from weak hands to strong hands, suddenly now we hear, gee, the nuclear industry is going to come back again. Isn't that interesting? And of course, is that just coincidence, or is it just coincidence that the environmental movement has been funded by many of the great corporations who will tend to benefit tremendously from when the nuclear industry does come back? I think if we see Carlyle going into the nuclear industry, we'll know that it's a sure thing.
Well, they are heavily invested in energy already, and certainly I don't think anything of that nature, when you see those kind of so-called coincidences, I don't think coincidence has anything to do with it.
Oh, well, you've just got a suspicious mind. Well, anyway, I think maybe we'd be a lot better off if we had a lot more suspicious people in our society. Because, of course, when we take things, just things happen by accident, why we have to be incredibly, incredibly naive. I see that the president of Montenegro is somehow associated with the organization.
Yeah, and this is a very strange association. I mean, you look at the role of Frank Carlucci. The Carlyle Group will tell you over and over again, Frank Carlucci is a businessman. He is no longer in politics. Yet you start to see a pattern emerge of Carlucci being very directly involved in politics, sending letters to Colin Powell, his good friend, on behalf of the president of Montenegro, who at the time was lobbying for their independence. This is a clear conflict of interest, and you have to ask yourself why Frank Carlucci is sending letters to Secretary Powell. Why is Frank Carlucci sending letters to Secretary Rumsfeld, two very close friends of his in very powerful positions, in positions to affect foreign policy? Is Frank Carlucci involved in politics anymore? Yeah, clearly he is.
And, of course, somebody once said, once CIA, always CIA. And,
that's
of course,
right.
He was, of course, what was he, the deputy assistant to the director? What was he?
Deputy director of the CIA.
He was actually deputy director.
Yep.
Okay. All right, fine. Well, of course, we're going to have to wrap this up in just a couple of moments here. First of all, the book is The Iron Triangle. Is it available at most bookstores?
Yep, most bookstores and certainly online on Amazon.com as well.
All right, fine. And if you want to get this, I think that we're going to carry The Iron Triangle because I just think it's such an important book for our listeners. And so if you'd like to get it to us, of course, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, if you ask for it, we'll get you a copy of this audio tape of this program because I think it will help you better to understand so much of the material that's covered in this excellent, excellent book. Do you have a parting thought for our listeners?
Well, I just want to say that one comment that you made is that we don't have enough suspicious minds, and you know, I don't think it takes suspicion. I just think it you need to not be naive about the way things work in this country, and where the real power is, and it's with big businesses. So I think people should be more aware of that.
All right, but God bless you. Thank you so much. I'm going to give you a call off the air and try to get you onto some of our other programs. Thanks so much for being with us today. Bye bye. Well, we'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up the program. But right now, we're going to have to take a little short break, so don't even think about changing the dial.
Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine. The fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working with an organized medicine both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention a couple of other things. First of all, I believe we're heading into some very difficult problems. Now, I believe that there's going to be a time where there are going to be other terrorist attacks. I'm not saying they're going to come up from overseas. I think many times why incidents are created to justify a reaction and more control over the lives of the people. Like, for instance, the Reichstag fire in Germany, of course, was used by the government to take away the freedoms of the people. It was the burning of Rome under Nero that was used, of course, to persecute the Christians. And so we have to be very, very wary, but we are entering into difficult times. There's nothing new in history. Things happen the same over and over again. What preparations have you made to look after yourself and your family? And, of course, in the final analysis, we're going to have to rely upon the Lord, but we'd be foolish not to make every possible plan and do everything we could to protect ourselves right now, and I believe that we are supposed to do that. So if you'd like to learn how to get the products and the various items that you would need to survive if the difficult times that I fear are coming should actually take place, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for the Ready Reserve Food Catalog. It's got a lot of things in it besides food. And, of course, we'll send you one free of charge. If you like the items, why, get it back to us and we'll be sure that you get it. So the number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and you ask for the Ready Reserve Food Catalog. And then let me remind you to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't read it, you really should. The Brotherhood of Darkness will give you an overview of the spiritual nature of the battle in which we're involved. And unless you understand what energizes many of these people is evil. And I know a man who knows Frank Carlucci, and he told me that Frank Carlucci, he knew very well. He said he was the most evil man he ever met. And that's what it's all about. Get the Brotherhood of Darkness and get it soon. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We're dependent upon those in the listening audience to help us as we reach out across America 5 hours a day with the news behind the news, the story behind the story, and we hope many of you will want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you'll be helping to finance our effort as we reach out by radio and by satellite and by internet and by shortwave to touch people's hearts across America. So again, if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family or find out about it, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WARM. And then, of course, remember the Phonopoly. This is the board game that will teach your children and grandchildren to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. Most of these programs, $500-$600. This is $139.95. It's five board games, two bonus games, and two books. And in 16 hours, you can undo all the harm that the government schools have done. If you have not tried Alamax, it's a pure allicin compound, the active ingredient in garlic. Let me suggest you call them at 866-405-4000. That's 866-405-4000. If you care about your freedom and would like to teach others and learn yourself about America's Christian heritage and why America was founded as it was, call the Institute on the Constitution at 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will go to our website, radioliberty.com. And we have pictures, of course, of the products we carry there. And, of course, if you're interested in the Berkey water filters, you can see the pictures of the Berkey water filters there at our website, radioliberty.com. And you can listen to our radio programs, live programs there, 3 hours a day at Radio Liberty. Our archive programs, you can link to the other two stations where we do so many of our programs. That's the Genesis Network and the American Freedom Network. And, of course, you can learn how to get to those networks from RadioLiberty.com. And let me suggest our newsletters. I think our newsletters will give you an entirely different outlook on what's really going on in the world. And we'll, of course, challenge everything that you think and believe and give you the sources of reference to check out to find out if it's really true. Because if what we say is true, why, of course, your freedom, your family, your future are in jeopardy today. If it's not true, you've got nothing to worry about. But don't you think you need to check out and find out if we're really telling you the truth? And if we are, then what is your obligation? Because remember, freedom once lost will never, never in our lifetime be regained. So again, go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. Encourage others to go to the RadioLiberty.com. Encourage them to listen to our programs. If you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter, our March newsletter, explain what the Iraq War was really all about, we'll send you one free newsletter. Of course, we hope you want to subscribe to the newsletter, but the March newsletter was what the Iraq War was really all about. April newsletter gets into the background of course, the AIDS epidemic and the SARS epidemic. The May newsletter, which is just to be going out very, very soon, will give you the background of genetic engineering. Why, of course, these organisms are jumping the species barrier. Why we find monkeypox. We've never found it in America. Now it's in all sorts of animals. And diseases don't go from animals to human beings. Not unless, of course, something else is going on. You'll want to get our May newsletter, which will take you into genetic engineering and facts which you're never going to read in the regular newspaper, but it'll give you the sources where you can check these things out and understand why we have so many new antibiotic-resistant organisms. You'll understand, of course, why, of course, we're seeing diseases, new diseases all across America. And lastly, we ask you to pray for America, pray for our leaders, pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.